All right, time for us to turn our attention here on Off the Ball to the weekend's Gaelic football action, the return of the Allianz Leagues. And I'm delighted to say with us in the studio is Cliath O'Connor, and on the line we have Billie Jo Paddon. You're both very welcome. I want to start by playing you a clip, though, before we get into the nuances of the importance of the league, because it's an unbelievably important league, especially for the teams in Division 2 and Division 3 in particular. But it's also going to be this weekend the very first time that most people really wake up to the fact that we now have an advanced mark and all of the other accoutrements that go with it. So Kieran Donaghy was on earlier on this week on OTBAM talking about what he thought about it was and his take on the prospective rule changes. Have a look at this.
We're bringing in a lot of rules from the Aussie rules. We're bringing in marks and offensive marks and all these very complicated things. And the best rule that the Aussies have that has taken every bit of cynicism out of the game over there is the 50-metre rule. And we won't look at that. I can't for my life get why we haven't brought that in. You know, if we're going to go as far as the Aussie rules to make it easier for them to go after our players by bringing in a mark, how can't we bring in a simple rule that a guy down in Carsevine reffing a South Kerry final, if he sees a player drag down a player out in 45, that he blows his whistle and runs 50 metres, and they get used to the 50 metres, they get used to that distance, they turn, they pick their spot, they know roughly where they are in the pitch, they bring that up and now all of a sudden you have a 35-yard free, or make it very simple that any cynical foul or pull down late on in the game, any time in the game, is the ball is brought up to the 21, you pop it over the bar. And if that cynical foul happens inside the 21-yard line, somebody goes on a run and is pulled down, it's an automatic penalty. That ends pull down and drag downs. That ends a talented corner forward late on in the game, winning a ball, turning around, and you still have managers now, even that it is a bigger punishment, late on in the game, that we're trying to... This was brought in, famously, for the Kavanagh tackle on McManus. I did something similar in 2007 against Shane Ryan when he turned me and he was going through on goal. I felt that the thing that was needed was to be cynical and stop the guy from scoring a goal. Was I wrong? Not for my team. You know, was I wrong from looking in from the outside? Yeah, it's not nice to see, but, you know, we're trying to win an All-Ireland, we're in an All-Ireland semi-final here. It's not, you know, it's too serious and we've put too much in for me to feel that wasn't acceptable. But, you know, it's...
Okay, interesting point there from Kieran about the changes that we might take from Aussie rules, but we haven't taken that one. We've taken the advanced mark. Cliath, what's your take on this?
I think in some respects, it doesn't have to change the game for the attacking team, because you don't have to take it. So what does it give you? It gives you, from a coaching perspective, it gives you an opportunity to develop more well-rounded players. So you got to focus on the skills of the game, the catching, and can you catch it cleanly? Can you kick it over the bar from a variety of positions? So it's not now a sort of a specialised free taker. Anyone can be a free taker. So from a skills coaching point of view, it does bring a different element, or you have different things you can play, different tools you can use. Defenders, what does it do for them in term? I think they're going to have to be braver going for 50-50 balls. So often now you get a defender who'll, your coach say, if he's going to win it, let him win it and then stand him up.
Yeah.
But if that's in a scorable position now, you can't let him win it.
Or do you just accept that the point is all you're going to give away? So like...
Exactly. So it will challenge decision making. It's a new decision making for players, attackers and defenders on the pitch. But a forward team or an attacking team can still play in the exact same manner. They do not have to change. And sometimes I think when a new rule is brought in, we think, well, we have to change our game plan because there's a new... Well, we don't at all.
It's going to be very interesting to see if there's a Jim McGuinness figure out there who decides, I know exactly how to make this work. It's somebody who's very well versed in Aussie rules, I suspect, who's been doing this for the last 6 months in the background. But the four-step rule is interesting, right? So when you catch the ball, you now have four steps where you can't be tackled.
Yes.
Right? And that applies inside the small... large parallelogram, mixing up my small and big. But if I'm a defender, I might just let you catch the ball because I know you're never going to score a goal now, because as soon as you come down, I'm going to tackle you and then you automatically get your free.
Yes.
So there's definitely, there are some unintended consequences that we're going to discover as this happens.
I think so. I think we will, and it will depend on how, well, it's like anything. What is the intention? The intention is to drive that kick and catch thing, to encourage people or give people an incentive to use those skills of the game. Now, by doing that, as you said, there are unintended consequences. So that large parallelogram, what's going to happen there? And will we see that once in the championship and it'll be a game changer, or will we see it all the time and we'll have to modify in a year's time? We don't really know. But I think I don't have a problem with the intention of what it's trying to achieve.
Okay, well, let's because there's a few other things as well. We've been talking, Paul Mannion was talking about them deploying sweepers because there is an area around the 40 in particular where suddenly if you've got a good free taker who can catch the ball, you might be able to just ping the ball to him and there could be 5 or 6 points a game for that. Billy Joe Paddon, what's your take on how this is all going to play out?
Well, I don't know how it's going to play out, but I suppose I better come clean and say that I was one of the people that was in favour of an advanced mark for a period of time. I am probably a little bit worried in terms of how it will be officiated. I think the referee's job is very difficult as it is. And I think with a lot of rules, even in any sports, you don't necessarily know the consequences. You know, when the back pass rule was brought into soccer, it wasn't to encourage this sort of high press football. It was just to stop time wasting. But as it's happened, it has affected football in a positive way. And hopefully these changes that we will make to Gaelic football will result in more attack-minded, proactive game plans that we want to see, because not every game were like the All-Ireland finals last year. We have too many games that are kind of stale. And I think that away from, it's a different thing totally to maybe what Kieran was on about in terms of cynicism. It's all about the skills. We need to see more catching and kicking in the game. I understand where Jack McCaffrey and Paul Mannion are coming from. It's totally understandable that they would be wary of these rule changes because they're the best at playing the way the game it was over the last 6 years. And some of the skills that they have maybe are slightly different. Now, Paul Mannion can probably win a ball over his head, but Jack McCaffrey is probably the best running footballer in the country, or best running footballer maybe we've ever seen in terms of his running ability and ball carrying ability. And maybe the game will change a little bit more where there would be more value on a fella in the half back line who can play that 40 metre kick pass into a free space for a fella to make a mark and take it from there. So I think that initially the impact will be minimal enough. I think probably the big impact maybe in terms of how referees officiate, and I know they have concerns about it, but the real lasting impact you probably won't know for a couple of seasons.
Paul Mannion, you mentioned him there, he was in last week I think talking with Joe, and he was saying that one of the things that they were doing in training was trying to have a sweeper in front of the 40 so that you can break up any potential. Ball has to travel 20 metres to somebody inside the 40. If you have Dean Rock or any of those southern footballers who are accurate, if you have him stationed somewhere out around the 40 and you know he's going to be able to kick the ball as soon as he catches it, you just have somebody else 20 metres away and that's the target. So you run lines 20 metres out from the 40 and if that person catches it, you look up and you try and kick the ball to Dean Rock, and it's just a 20 metre pass, so it's not like a big long ball into the full forward line, which wasn't, I guess, the original intention, but it would be a very clever way for teams to utilise their best kickers.
Yeah, I think so. I think this mark will also... A lot of football into the full forward line or into the forward line over the last number of years has been everything's played out in front. Forwards want to receive it with a bounce in front. I think what the mark will do, it will leave more options for a ball in over the top, because if there is if that's where the space is going to be, if defenders are going to be trying to close out those areas around the 45, well, maybe there's an opportunity for a long ball over the top to somebody that's good in the air, you know, Michael Murphy type, Clifford.
Or you put a second defender in there and actually what we end up with is 8 defenders as opposed to... That's my concern, is that this is an extra defender they're talking about. This isn't Keane O'Sullivan's gig now. He stays where he was to make sure that ball over the top doesn't work, and suddenly Brian Howard is back in the half-back line and we're like, ah, Jesus, lads, this isn't what we wanted at all.
I know, but does that not happen anyway?
Maybe.
Because the fitness levels of these teams, if your attack isn't quick, if you don't break out of your half-back line really quickly or form a turnover... Teams have not just 8, 10, 12, 13 bodies in that area, inside their own 65, say. It's going to be very, very difficult to win a mark there around the 45. You're not going to risk it. You might throw a Hail Mary into the edge of the square if you've Michael Murphy and he's able to win you a mark and kicks a short distance free. But there are not going to be that many opportunities if you play slow football for the mark. I don't think we're going to see it that often. I don't think we saw it that often in some of the earlier rounds of the FBD League or the McKenna Cup. It hasn't been that big a factor.
It does feel cleaner, though, that this is the type of thing, as Billy said, it's going to be a couple of years before we see exactly what the impact of it is. But, you know, for example, it didn't really feel like the Dubs embraced this at all during last year's league. They played their normal game. They weren't taking marks because they knew that the championship was coming down the line with a completely different set of rules.
Yeah.
This year, it's very different. So you'll have the best minds in Gaelic football going, you know, if I position like that, like what is the 1% edge that I can have over other teams here? And it's fun speculating that.
It is, and I think with coaches, it'll take all coaches a while to figure it out and say, tactically, how do we use it? And tactically, you know, to score, you want your best kickers in the good positions with time to take a shot. So how can we utilise this rule to make our attack even stronger? And if you're a one-trick pony, if you have Dean Rock who can catch and kick, obviously an opposition team are going to deal with him. So do you use that to your tactical advantage? Well, they know Dean Rock is brilliant, but what about these other people?
Yeah.
If we can make them into serious threats, then all of a sudden, I think it potentially can give you more options as a coach and challenge you to utilise your team better rather than relying on one person.
Yeah, I mean, I do wonder if we end up with like very static defence and forwards. That I know Billy Joe's talking about the way that teams move, but that maybe you do end up with more forwards and more defenders, and maybe that was kind of the architect's intention, that not quite a return to traditional positions, but certainly a return to a set number of people. Like, if you're an attacking team, you'll always want to have somebody inside the 40 now who might be able to catch it and take a mark, right?
You would imagine so, yeah. You'd imagine that once, because it gives you, affords you that opportunity to catch and then have a scorable kick as such, there's no way that you'd want to take everybody out of there. You'd always want to have that option alive.
Yeah. Billy Joe, what do you think? If you're a manager or coach of a team at the moment, are you trying to burst into this now so you know exactly how it works in Championship, or are you very slowly iterating your game plan? If you're Desi Farrell, for example, where you've got the best team in the country, or if you're Kerry, who are very close to being the best team in the country, are you trying to use this to be the thing that separates you from everybody else and gives you an advantage, or how quickly and how slowly do you embrace all this?
I think you embrace the defensive side of it very quickly. I think most managers will look at that side, but they'll try and think, how are we going to defend against this? And that'd be particularly relevant to Dublin, because they haven't always done well on long balls into the edge of the square, and the Kerry full back line isn't it's not that great either. So I think both those managers will look at it from that point of view. When you look at the other end of the field, like Paul Mannion's well able to win ball in space and win a mark. Gainey or Clifford the same way. I imagine they'll be excellent operators with a mark. I think the option it will give a forward is even on a quick counter-attack, as I've mentioned, if you've two forwards up, very often we've seen last year, there might be four or five defenders back. And if you can win that initial ball for a mark, you have that decision to make, that to take the stop and take your shot of the sticks is probably an advantage to you, because in the other situation, you couldn't really take a man on because you had to deal with two or three defenders. Your support maybe wasn't going to come in time, so all you were left doing was going back and recycling. At least this way, you might get a shot at the post. And I think as well, I just think that a point is a big score still in the game. I know I don't think there'll be a situation too often, unless you're playing with a lead, where a defender will say, look here, I'm not going to risk it. I'm going to give them the point, particularly if it's in a decent area. And I think that then we might see more exciting attack and play if the defender is actually committed to attacking the ball in the air, because even if it's not a clean catch, sometimes a break from that situation can be picked up by another forward and create goal scoring opportunity.
Yeah, I'm worried about that though. I feel like the defence are going to settle for, if someone catches the ball cleanly over my head, they're going to settle for points.
I don't know about that. From a defensive point of view, I think when we think about the mark, even in our heads, we think of this long ball in to a Michael Murphy type scenario, but it's only it only has to be 20 metres. Mm. And once it's from one side of the 45 to the other, then game on, like, you know. So I think defensively it will force players to push up and not be a zonal. So now a lot of defences are zonal, let them play it out there, just keep them out of the scoring zone. But I think now,
this is a free kick now.
Yeah, I think players are going to have to go after.
Like, if you're on the 46-metre line, you can kick the ball to right in front of the scoring zone.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think players will see more intense one-on-one battles, defender versus attacker, not letting him clean catch, basically.
Yeah, Billy Joe, I know you've got to go. One last question to you. I'm just asking specifically about the Dubs, and if you're Desi Farrell, and we had a little bit of a debate about this over the last couple of weeks here on the show, What do you need from the league? Like, you've taken over a team or five in a row. Do you need immediate success just to make sure that everybody feels like, okay, this is great? Or do you actually need to have like a mediocre enough league campaign to try and bring everybody back down to earth?
I don't think the players need a whole lot, because they know that even if their league doesn't go that well, they've done it all before. They've been tested in the heat of championship over a number of years and always come out on top. Their mental strength is that strong. I think it'd be nice it'd be a good kickstart for Desi in terms of, you know, people wouldn't be questioning at the end of the league if they don't win it because they've been so successful the last number of years. But I think what he needs to see more than anything is a couple of the players that have been big over the last couple of years showing that drive, that hunger to drive this team on again. And I suppose I'm talking about Kieran Kilkenny, Jack McCaffrey, Howard, Fenton. If those players are operating well going into the latter stages of the league, well, then he'll be happy looking forward to a championship run. And that's all you need, in my opinion.
And are they the most likely winners in your eyes, or is anybody else needed a bit more?
Well, I think they're the most likely winners, and Kerry are next up. Maybe Donegal can kind of come close to one of those two sides, but I don't see Tyrone or Mayo. Maybe, you know, I still think Galway have a bit of work to do. But yeah, Dublin are still the team to challenge, and maybe and Kerry looks the closest to do it.
All right, Billy Joe, we'll let you go. Thanks a million for joining us. Cliona, what's your take on this? Because it's a very difficult job that Desi Farrell has, but it's also one of the greatest jobs in Irish sport because there's such a brilliant team, and there's still a throughput of young players coming through who are exciting and talented and haven't won their five All-Irelands, and you know, there's an internal motivation there too. So how do you approach this?
I think, well, it depends on when are you talking about. What does Desi need or what do the players need? So, and there's a bit of ego involved. So if you've just taken over a team, you know, you want a successful league campaign to nearly, so you're not getting criticised. Mm. So as was said there, like, they didn't have a great league last year and they still went on to win five in a row. So the players don't need confidence in their ability, but is it does Desi and whatever his backroom team, you know, that's the danger, that if he feels, oh, well, if things don't go wonderful, then, oh, people think I'm not fit for the job. So I don't think the players need anything really, and other than just allowing them to continue doing what they're doing. You know, he doesn't need to make any massive changes. He just needs to keep the successful structure going and keep allowing players to do what they're doing.
Jim Gavin always would take players out of the cycle kind of almost imperceptibly. You'd think that maybe he's just resting them, but actually they were dropped. They were like very high profile players. You thought that, oh, they'll, you know, they're just broadening the squad a little bit here. There's no way Niall Scully's going to start the championship ahead of, you know, 4-time All Ireland winner, 4-time All Star in a row. And then actually, Niall Scully turns out to be the number one name on the team sheet.
Yes.
And that's that. There was always a little bit of that with Gavin, where we never kind of fully understood that when he was making those changes, they were changes for good. So does Desi need to do a little bit of that too? Is there a bit of like, this is my team now, or?
He's going to have fresh eyes, absolutely. Like, and he knows a lot of players from minor and under-21 days and all that. So he knows a lot of the characters involved. He's definitely going to have different opinions and see things differently. And I think the point with Jim, it was nearly like letting people out of the system before it became an issue. So when someone was, listen, you've played four great seasons and you're still good, and then maybe in another county or another scenario, you would have kept going.
Totally, yeah.
But we need to keep the cycle fresh and keep new people coming in all the time. So there'll be a natural change with Desi, of course there will be. And there'll be people that will get opportunities that he knows from, as I said, his minor and under 21, that, you know, lads that played under him that he rates, that he wants to give them opportunities.
We've seen Mayo win a league title last year, and, you know, it was big celebrations for them. And I understand why that happened. It didn't translate for them into brilliant championship performances. We saw Kerry a couple of years ago beat Dublin in a league final, and unfortunately that year they didn't get another crack at Dublin. And I know that's a great regret of Eamon Fitzmaurice's as well. So it's important to do really well in the league and to show up, and so that you're, again, broadening your panel and understanding how the new rules work. But actually winning it and losing it has turned out not to be an indicator of anything significant in the championship.
Yeah, I mean, it's a national competition. But any of the people who are really, really serious about the championship and are really in those top four contenders, as long as their league is productive, I would say they don't really care whether they win or lose, unless psychologically they've decided that winning the league is very, very important to them. They've sort of said, we're going to go and be really competitive and we're going to win the league. If they've set their stall out as such, then it's important. But in terms of, it's really just preparation. It's a preparation competition for the championship.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a serious contender for the championship.
And it's your best way to prepare for a good championship run, if you know, especially if you're Dublin or indeed if you're Kerry, because you don't get good quality games really until the Super 8s.
Of course it is, and especially with new rules. So now you go and you play Kerry. Well, how did they play the mark in the league? What did they do with it? All right, you're just building that evidence. How did we play? We tried to do it like this against Mayo. It didn't work because they counteracted it. So this year's league is going to be a massive testing ground tactically from that perspective, just from the new rules perspective.
Are there counties like Tyrone or Donegal or maybe even Kerry who might be able to take a bounce from a league title and to use that as something? Like, just because it didn't particularly work for Mayo,
yeah,
does that automatically mean that maybe, you know, it would, like a very young Donegal team, maybe a little bit of silverware for them on top of their Ulster titles just gives them a bit of sense of, actually, you know what, here we go.
Absolutely it does. If you're kind of, let's call them a second tier team, so you haven't been in All-Ireland finals or semi-finals, or you've been just a level below the last couple of years, gaining a bit of momentum, even psychological momentum from a national title win is really, really important and can be used to your advantage. The only problem is with that, from a season point of view, if you go hard in the league and you go after and you build yourself up and you push and you get that massive success in the league, sometimes it can be hard to recreate that again because you've kind of spent all your cards, you've played all your best tricks. Some teams manage it really well. They get that early success and they're able to build on it and go a step further.
Yeah.
Other teams, you see them, they fizzle out too early. Or they just can't. When everyone else takes a step up from the championship, they've taken their step up earlier in the season. You know?
In terms of what we would expect the strength and conditioning of the teams to be at the, say, like 5 weeks into the league, so not the start and not by the very end of it, how far away is that from how fit the team will be in high summer?
You would have, there will be a bit of a difference. I suppose once the league starts, the games are ticking fast. So you're nearly using it to build your endurance, your work capacity, all that groundwork. And you do that through games and through training. I mean, the best way to get fit for football is play football, you know. Then in between, depends on the county, you may have club action, all that type of stuff. So in between league and championship, that hampers a little bit.
In April,
In terms of the county's preparation, they go back and they play. So you the inter-county scene, you lose a little bit of time with your players there, which is fine, you know, you just have to deal with it. Then coming into championship, you're hoping all that groundwork is still there from the league and you're just adding, I suppose, the agility, the power, speed. You're just topping up all of that in the championship. So where they should be fit, let's call it, their general fitness should be good 5 weeks into the league. That sort of real sharpness, speed and power, you won't see that really till championship.
Okay.
Because that's when you really want to see it, when it really matters.
In percentage terms, you're kind of at like 75 to 85% of what you should be in summertime.
Yeah.
And that's why the results shouldn't matter as much for...
Yeah.
So long as, look, you don't want to get relegated. If you're Division 2, if you get relegated, it's a catastrophe. If you don't get promotion from Division 3, it's a catastrophe in terms of your ability to play in the Tier 1 Championship and play for Sam Maguire if you're Cork or Down or Derry or whoever in Division 3. So for those teams, you can see why the results are the be-all and end-all at this time of year, and you would hope that maybe they're further along that fitness cycle than the Tier 1 teams... The Dublin, Kerry, Tyrone, Donegal and Mayo, who are the realistic contenders, maybe Galway think they're at that level as well.
But that's a conscious choice from a coaching point of view and a physical preparation point of view. So you can decide to shoot earlier with all that type of thing and add in all that physical work earlier in the season, earlier in your pre-season, because you've made a decision that we want to be hopping off other teams in the league because it's important for where we are. You know,
so Galway might make that decision.
Yeah, so you can absolutely make that decision as a coach, as strength and conditioning, as all that.
Yeah, and you'd need a very structured plan. You need to make sure that everybody can get back from April when, you know, you obviously don't see your players for the whole month of April, apparently. And then you get them back and you get them ready for proper championship action. A team like Galway, for example, you can see the benefit for them for having a big league campaign and everybody rowing in behind a talismanic manager and a backroom team who've been there and done that. And the benefits of that. So there are definitely different approaches to what teams are trying to achieve. I think that's probably why this is going to be a very interesting league. Like, we probably won't care too much about who ends up winning it, but we will care about how Dublin do, how Galway do, how Cork do in Division 3.
I think so. And I think that, I suppose, what it signals as well, a league like this, and you're talking about Galway, it's a signal of intent, really, isn't it? It's sort of like, what's Pádraig Joyce going to do in Galway? Is he going to go, right, we need that momentum. We need that for his players. So he's a new manager. Desi Farrell is a new manager.
Yeah.
So are they going to take the same approach, or are they going to take a different approach? So that's what the league, that's what I find interesting at the league. How is a manager going to approach it from a kind of preparation, psychological point of view?
How honest,
what does it mean to his team?
And how honest are you going to be with your players about what you're doing? Do you tell everybody, OK, this is our plan at the start of the year, we're absolutely going for it in the league, and we're going to taper you down in April, you go off and play at your clubs, and we're going to taper you back up, and we, you know, here's the science behind it? Or do you go, look, I want to win every game, this is inter-county, of course I want to win every game, but we have our eye on the Super 8 because we know we're going to be there, and well, it's about, like, so very few teams can do that, but Kerry can do that, Dublin can do that, and every single thing we do along the way is to make sure that we have a panel who are killing each other in training for 3 weeks before that first round of Super 8, so we know exactly that whoever we put out in the team is going to do it for us.
Well, it depends on the mentality of your squad and the maturity of your squad, because there's a danger in saying, do you know what, lads, the league doesn't matter, and we're going to, we'll build up nicely through it and we'll get our bit of work done. But there's a danger, and then do you lose that competitive edge? So so if you take that approach and you go out and you play a rival, so Galway play Mayo or Dublin play Mayo, whatever, and you've sort of said to your players, well, the league doesn't really matter, and then they go out, are they going to be ruthless? You know, and then you Mayo win by 2 points, and you've kind of, have you handed Mayo a little chink of light there when you could have said, like, okay, realistically, we're not going to be at our fittest, but that doesn't mean we're not competitive animals when we go down to Castlebar, you know? So it's a fine line between saying we're going to build for a bigger picture versus, you know, lads, so it's okay if things don't go our way, you know?
Maybe it depends. You say that after a defeat. You explain afterwards, like, oh, look, that's okay. We, you know, we ran you in training a bit harder than we should have done to explain it. But I guess you want everybody to be trying to kill the opposition who you might face later on to put the doubt in their minds.
Because that's a skill in itself, going into a really difficult battle, regardless of where you're at in your physical preparation, me versus you, as two athletes, you know. I don't want to give myself an excuse, oh, well, you know, I haven't done the training and I'll be great in June. Well, you know, you have to be competitive and great now.
Because I'm going to improve by as much in
absolutely,
the meantime.
Absolutely, yeah.
But so that brings me right back to maybe Desi should go all out and try and win this thing so that, like, if I'm him, you know, and you talked about the ego, it's everybody has, like, especially coming into a job like that, he has to believe in himself. And is the easiest way to show the Dubs that, like, we're going to win Division 1 because they're the only good games we're going to get. Maybe Meath give us a game in the Championship. Maybe Kildare. Maybe they give us a game in the Championship. We don't know yet, but maybe they do. Probably they won't because they haven't in the best part of a decade. So are you going, look, let's go out and win all these games and I pick my best team and I just get everybody back and say, look, nothing's changed here, lads. We're the best team. We're going to go out and show everybody.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very strong message to give. And the only reason, and I have no idea what Desi Farrell is thinking or going to do, but the only reason you don't do that is fear. You don't do that as a manager because you're afraid, well, if I say all this stuff and I don't achieve it, well, then I'm the underperformer. Then I don't, because the shoes he's filling, that they've been very ambitious and they've achieved five in a row, so they've achieved something spectacular. So if I come in and say, we are 100% going to win that National League and we don't do it, then already you haven't delivered.
Yeah, I mean, you can always think it and not communicate, like, so look, we're, and maybe it's where there's a 50-50 call, you go for the person who isn't the incumbent so that, you know, they're coming off the bench a little bit pissed off and a little bit angry. Who do you think's going to win it?
Tomorrow night, I would say, geez, I'd like to see, I think Dublin win it, to be honest, because I think a lot of the lads, because there's a history with Desi, they developed under Desi, I think there will be a pride in themselves and also a pride of, let's set the tone, nothing has changed here, we're still as good as ever, it doesn't really matter that Desi's the manager, not Jim, we're the players, and it was set the tone.
I mean, I can see that message, all right, but if I'm Kerry, I'm thinking this is a good opportunity for us to just kind of, I mean, I know it's a new season and everything, but that stuff matters, right?
Of course it matters.
Clean the good stuff, enjoy the league, thanks a million for joining
us.
Right, that's your GAA fix for this afternoon. If you want to get in touch with us here on the radio, 53106 is the text number. We'll be right back after these.